Welcome to the second Talking Smack Sound Off on blog.syracuse.com. I'm Tim Swartz along with David Resnick. And David, a pretty big day in SU athletics. First of all, UMass beat Syracuse at the Carrier Dome. The women, a 49-point win over Colgate in Hamilton. But the biggest news, the longest-lasting news, Daryl Gross saying that Greg Robinson is going to come back coach next year for Syracuse.
Well, I think the big question, first of all, is the timing. Why today? Why not yesterday? How come not next week? And it's one of those things, it's kind of like an in-between period, Tim, because you think if they did it a little bit shorter, quicker to the end of the season, then they would have been completely certain on Greg Robinson. If they would have waited till last week, then there's a definite indication that maybe they looked into other avenues and they try to figure out the buyout. But since it came today, it's kind of in the middle where maybe they did some feelers, maybe they try to go check some people out, and maybe they were just trying to gain enough support from the people surrounding the program in order to get the okay for Robinson to come back.
And I think the main thing to look about it this way is there was no press conference, and let's take a look at some of exactly what Daryl Gross said about Greg Robinson. And this is a direct quote: "As deeply as the SU community wants to win, we are a place of integrity and commitment, and that is important to provide our head coaches with a legitimate and reasonable time frame in which to demonstrate process." So I guess 3 years wasn't enough. I guess 3 years isn't enough time to show progress. And I guess progress is you're given 3 years and a 21-point home loss to end the season to a, okay, pretty good Cincinnati team that's going to go to a bowl. I guess that's progress.
Well, it's one of those things. You talk about the community wants to see wins, about integrity. Well, maybe the community doesn't, because it's really been divided as to whether or not Greg Robinson should come back. And now that he is back, you really have to question whether or not this team is going to win. We've talked about it over and over and over again on Talking Smack. Even with the worst players in the country, you should be able to show some progress. You should not have the same problems over and over again. And if you look at the words of Daryl Gross, he's left himself an out. He's left him a qualitative analysis, not a quantitative one. And while I do agree it's a lot of pressure to put on a coach, well, you need to get 5 wins, you need to get 6 wins, I think he also realizes with the type of schedule that they have coming up next year and the year after, improvement doesn't necessarily mean more wins, because they're going to be playing a lot tougher teams.
Yeah, they're going to open next year's schedule with Penn State. Also have non-conference games at Northwestern, which is actually going to open up the year. Penn State will be the first home game. They also have a game against Notre Dame. So 3 more BCS-level opponents next year for Syracuse. But I think it comes down to this. You mentioned about, people say, well, Greg Robinson's recruits have been playing the best. Well, part of being a head coach is using other people's players, being able to fit them in your system. And the big thing for me is this: why did Greg Robinson come here, David?
Is this a trick question?
It's not a trick question. What's the main reason why he was brought here?
Daryl Gross, connection to USC. The defensive guru. As Tim leans back in his chair in disgust, and it's something, once again, we've talked about over and over again. 57th in the country his first year. Good showing. Now he's brought in more of his players, and the defense has gone south. Where's the progress? What are we looking at? What is there to hold on to? People are encouraged by a 21-point loss at home. Like, are people realizing what they're saying?
Yeah, and Syracuse this season alone has had 4 games where they've given up more than 300 yards rushing. And the game last year, they gave up 457 yards in 1 game to West Virginia. You're talking about 457 yards in a situation where you give that over 2 games, that's pretty embarrassing. But you give up over that over 1 game, this is a defensive guru, David. He's got some tricks up his sleeves. He's got watch out for Greg Robinson. He got 52 points at home to Cincinnati. Cincinnati's a good team, but that's not cutting it. And you say, oh, we didn't have the talent the last couple of years. He had Kelvin Smith, a pretty good player. Tenard Jackson was a first 3-round draft pick. The year before that, he had Anthony Smith. He had Kamir Drame. A bunch of very good players. James Weish. And you're telling me that he doesn't have the players? It's absolutely ludicrous. But he's a defensive genius, though. He's really shown it, though, with the worst defense in the Big East this season. And, well, you expect a head coach to have a forte. I don't know what Greg Robinson's forte is. His recruiting classes aren't ranked in the top 40. The offense, we know about the offense. They haven't been good, period. They had a couple of flashes this year, but that's about it. and the defense, I just went off on the defense. Why is Greg Robinson still here? He's not doing anything well. He's not doing anything well. He's not winning games. He's not recruiting. And there's no progress.
I think at this point you can say is that Greg Robinson is a nice guy. Beyond that, what other good superlatives can you really give him?
And from talking to people, David, and we talk to people, you know, around the program and in the press box, it comes down to this: money, and the fact that Syracuse needed a big time alumni, needed somebody big time to come up and say, here's $3 million, get rid of Robinson, get rid of his assistants. Nobody did, and now Syracuse fans are stuck with him for another year.
So I think the question begins right now with the quote-unquote rehiring of Greg Robinson, the ability for him to play out another year of his contract. I think the question starts on day one, and that's today. What does he need to do next year in order to keep his job?
Well, if this is progress, then all he needs to do is send out, 11 players, have them show up for 12 games, and I guess that'll be good enough. Because this is not progress. This is embarrassing. When you have a game where announced crowd 30,000, there was maybe 18,000 people there. The lowest crowd in 20 years at the Carrier Dome. That's not progress. That's a program that was once proud, a program that had one losing season in 20 years, that has three losing seasons in 3 years, and it's absolutely going to the toilet bowl. And guess what? You need to bring in some new life. You need to bring in a new head man, because Greg Robinson's excuses, and if you read the statement on SUathletics.com, he did cite not having DeLon Carter as one of the reasons why they didn't do well this year. It wouldn't have mattered because the offensive line couldn't block, but excuses, next year we're making progress. Let's hear it next year, and if he stays on for the full contract, this may be a hit that this program may take 5-6 years to come back from. If they cut ties right now, 2 years this program could be turned around. But right now, if they take Greg Robinson for this year, next year, and the year after, it could be catastrophic.
So
not already catastrophic.
So here's another question for you: if they didn't fire him today. But if your decision, you're Darryl Gross, you fire Greg Robinson, who's the guy that you want to bring in?
You got to bring in somebody who, first of all, is a disciplinarian. And talking to people around the program, that's one of the problems with Greg Robinson. Doesn't discipline his players enough.
I said he was a nice guy.
He is a nice guy, but sometimes being a nice guy on a football field isn't a good idea when you're getting hit in the mouth and you can't commit penalties. Syracuse committing a bunch of penalties that come down to execution.
You don't mean it's a good thing when Steve Russ is clapping after giving up a touchdown? That's not a good thing for a football team?
Let's not start me on that. But to get back to your question, it's just a mess. And that's what it comes down to at this point. It's a mess. People say it was a mess with Paul Pasqualoni. Maybe it was, maybe it wasn't, but there was at least a semblance of a football team, a semblance of some hope, a semblance of going in that direction. But the guy you gotta bring in has to be young, he has to be strong minded, and he has to be offensive minded. That's how you get people in the stands. An exciting offense. Looking through coaches, I don't know who you bring in. Maybe a guy like Chip Kelly, the offensive coordinator at Oregon, a guy who has Northeast connections, coached at Vermont, coached at New Hampshire before coming to Oregon. Maybe a guy like him. Maybe Randy Etzel. Randy Etzel's a guy who was at Syracuse, a guy who was coached here, brings a hard-head mentality. But, David, I don't know. Who do you bring in?
Well, I think it's one of the guys. I can't give you a name. I can only give you a description. To be completely honest, who's out there, who would come, who has ties, who doesn't. It's just got to be a guy. You talked about a disciplinarian. I'm going to go along the recruiting lines. Let's just look at the women's basketball program. What a recruiter, or what a guy that someone that everyone respects, someone wants to play for, has done. A place of Syracuse playing the likes of the UConn, of the Rutgers in women's basketball that no one wanted to go. A place that never had a McDonald's All-American in its program's history. Coming out of high school, who never really could recruit in New York, all of a sudden, Quentin Hillsman, who's now only in his second year, has now put in two great recruiting classes.
So are you saying Coach Q to move to the gridiron?
Well, he would definitely bring a good sense of style. That's no doubt. But it's one of those things. Can you compare women's basketball to football? Probably not. But there is just an example of a guy coming in where a guy can make the program. A specific coach can make a difference. And if you don't think things can be turned around, look at the Cincinnati game. Brian Kelly comes in, takes over a pretty decent program. They now went 8-4 this season, going back to a bowl game. And there's a guy that's already been named in the hunt for Michigan. Look at Turner Gill. He's up at Buffalo. He's one of the last two remaining guys for the coaching spot at Nebraska. The people are out there. It was a swing and a miss with Greg Robinson. I realize Darryl Gross has a lot riding on that decision because it was his first one, and that's the way he's always going to be judged. But it's my opinion at this point, you just need to cut the losses, do the math. They're going to be losing a lot more money by not having people in the seats than paying out Robinson and the rest of his assistants.
Well, I'm going to disagree with you with that comparison, and I think it's a terrible comparison because women's basketball is a game where you have to have the athletes, you have to have the top players of basketball just in particular, or you can't compete at the top level. Football is completely different. Football is not about the players. Basketball is a sport where it's about the players, it's about the athletes, and it's about the people that you can put out there. Football, it's all about the system. And I don't see Greg Robinson with an offensive system. I don't see Brian White with the offensive system to be able to get the job done. I don't think a recruiter coming up here is going to mean anything because recruiters get you players, but you know it's so hard to find a guy who can recruit and coach. And I don't think Syracuse has the money to bring in a top-flight recruiter and to bring in a top-flight offensive coordinator. So I think you have to go with an offensive coordinator first. And the example that I always use is at California, where Jeff Tedford, the offensive coordinator for Oregon, before that, 2001, took that Oregon team to the Fiesta Bowl in a final number two ranking in the AP poll, came to California and completely changed the program. He took a team that went 1-10 and lost a lot of key players and went 7-5 in 1 year, and he was an offensive-minded head coach. He was a guy that got that team averaging 35, 40 points per game, got fans in the seats, had a Cal program that had about 15,000 season ticket holders, now to about 45,000 season ticket holders. Why? Because people come to see offense. People come to see that, and you need to bring an offensive-minded head coach because they can get the job done on the offensive side of the ball and have the system bring in the players, not the head coach's personality.
And this basically, the athletic department now has about, 8 months to spin the PR to get the good feelings around the program. And if you don't think spring ball means anything, let's see how many people come out to spring practice. Let's see how many people are interested in seeing the spring football game, hearing Greg Robinson on the mic, seeing all these players perhaps back, and trying to rid themselves in the program of the excuses. He's on audition right now. His butt is on the line, and that's the way it's always been. But it's with every single move that he makes that it's going to be even more examined now after a third season, which was basically a complete failure.
Yeah, it basically was a complete failure. Any final thoughts, David?
It's just one of these things where coming into this season, I said, this guy has so many built-in excuses, it's unbelievable. A new quarterback, a starting tailback that's out, new crop of starting linebackers, personnel changes, redshirt freshmen's getting starting time. And as it turns out, that was basically all the reasons cited as to why this team didn't make, quote, progress. There has to come a time where there's accountability. There has to come a time where all the excuses just really don't matter because the end result is that it's a 2-10 season, and you could basically say whatever you want. Did this team underachieve? Perhaps. But when you really look at this team, you really look game by game, did you really expect this team to win more than two games?
And my final thought is this, and this is something that came to me watching the game against South Florida, and it was something that really startled me. And there was a play where South Florida had the ball to Syracuse 3. It was third and goal. And Syracuse had 11 men on the field. They tried to switch. And keep in mind, this is at the goal line where you have to run 30 yards. They tried to change the personnel of seven players. They tried to bring seven players on the field and off the field. The players couldn't do it in time. They couldn't get it set up in time. Wasted the timeout. That was Greg Robinson in a nutshell for me. Somebody who just doesn't understand what's going on as being a head coach. He doesn't understand how things work. You can't bring on and off seven players from the three-yard line. It doesn't work like that. A couple of moments also from the Washington game that stuck out to me. There were not one, but two plays in the first half that Syracuse ran on offense where there were 10 players on the field. That's all you need to know about this coaching staff. That's all you need to know about what I believe about this coaching staff and where I think they should be. That does it for another Talking Smack Sound Off. You want to hear more of this Saturday, 8 to 10 a.m. We'll be here with myself, David, and Zach Schoenbrunn will join us. It'll be Talking Smack. We'll talk about this. We'll talk about more Greg Robinson, which is this, and we'll talk about some men's basketball, maybe even hint in and slip in a little bit of women's basketball. It's Talking Smack on Z89, 8 to 10 a.m. on Saturdays. I'm Tim Swartz. It's been the Talking Smack Sound Off.